A Mind for Numbers. How to Excel at Math and Science, Even If You Flunked Algebra. Author, Barbara Oakley. Open the door. If you don't consider yourself naturally good at math and science, you may be surprised to learn that the brain is designed to do extraordinary mental calculations. We do it every time we catch a ball, or maneuver your car around a pothole on the road. We often do complex calculations, solving complex equations unconsciously, unaware that we sometimes know the solution as we slowly work toward it. In fact, we all have a natural feeling and flair for math and science. We just need to master the lingo and the culture. Focused versus diffuse thinking. Since the beginning of the 21st century, neuroscientists have been making profound advances in understanding the two different types of networks that the brain switches between: highly attentive states and more relaxed, resting state networks. The thinking process related to these networks are called the focused mode and diffuse mode, respectively. Focused mode thinking is essential for studying math and science. It involves a direct approach to solving problems using rational, sequential, and analytical approaches. This focused mode is associated with the concentrating abilities of the brain's prefrontal cortex. Diffuse mode thinking is associated with the big picture perspectives. It's what happens when you relax your attention and just let your mind wander. This relaxation allows different areas of the brain to hook up and return valuable insights. Diffuse mode insights often flow from preliminary thinking that's been done in the focused mode. The harder you push your brain to come up with something creative, the less creative your ideas will be. That is why relaxation is part of hard work and good work. Be an equation whisperer. Chunking information helps your brain run more efficiently. Chunks are pieces of information that are bound together through meaning. One of the first steps towards gaining expertise in math and science is to create chunks. First, simply focus your attention on the information you want to chunk. Secondly, understand the basic idea you're trying to chunk. Thirdly, gain context so you see not just how, but also when to use this chunk. Practice helps you broaden the networks of neurons connected to your chunk, ensuring that it is not only firm, but also accessible from many different paths. Steps to building a powerful chunk. 1. Work a key problem all the way through on paper. 2. Do another repetition of the problem, paying attention to the key processes. 3. Take a break. 4. Sleep. 5. Do another repetition. 6. Add a new problem. 7. Do active repetitions. Preventing procrastination. To prevent procrastination, there is a great way to reframe things. Focus on the process, not the product. Your attention should be on building processes, habits, that coincidentally allow you to do the unpleasant tasks. The product is what triggers the pain that causes you to procrastinate. Instead, focus on the process, the small chunks of time you need over days or weeks to solve the homework problems or prepare for the test. The habitual part of your brain likes processes because it can march mindlessly along. Enhancing your memory. Images are so important to your memory that they connect directly to your right brain's visuospatial centers. The image helps you encapsulate a seemingly hard-to-remember concept by tapping into visual areas with enhanced memory abilities. The more neural hooks you can build by evoking the senses, the easier it will be for you to recall the concept and what it means. Create metaphors. One of the best things you can do to not only remember, but also understand concepts in math and science, is to create a metaphor or analogy for it. Interestingly, metaphors and analogies are useful for getting people out of Einstelling. Create stories. Storytelling in general has long been a vitally important way of understanding and retaining information. The best lectures in math and science are often framed as thrillers, opening with an intriguing problem that you just have to figure out. Muscle memory. Although there is little research in this area, many educators have observed that there seems to be a muscle memory related to writing by hand. Some learners find that reading formulas and problems aloud helps them understand better. Others find talking to themselves out loud is helpful as well. If you really want to boost your memory as well as your general ability to learn, it seems one of the best ways to do it is to exercise. Several experiments have found that regular exercise can make a substantive improvement in your memory and learning abilities. It helps create new neurons in the areas that relate to memory. It seems that different types of exercise, running or walking for example, versus strength training, may have subtly different molecular effects. But aerobic and resistance exercise exert similarly powerful results on learning and memory. No need for genius envy. Chess grandmasters don't construct their neural structures through last-minute cramming. Instead, their knowledge base is gradually built over time, and with plenty of practice that builds their understanding of big-picture context. They create a vast, chunked library of potential solution patterns. They can quickly rifle through the chunks to see what others have done when faced with situations similar to what they are facing. But guess what? This also makes it difficult for those smart people to be creative. How is that? It's our friend and enemy, Einstellung. The idea they already are holding in mind blocks them from fresh thoughts. Their ability to solve complex problems may make them overthink simple problems, going for the convoluted answer and overlooking the simple, more obvious one. Sculpting your brain. Santiago Cajal, the father of modern neuroscience, has many contributions to our understanding of the structure and function of the nervous system. According to him, deficiencies of innate ability may be compensated for through persistent hard work and concentration. One might say that work substitutes for talent, or better yet, that it creates talent. Practice appears to strengthen and reinforce connections between different brain regions, creating highways between the brain's control centers and the centers that store knowledge. It is the practice, particularly deliberate practice on the toughest aspects of the material, that can help lift average brains into the realm of those with more natural gifts. 10 rules for good studying. 1. Use recall. 2. Test yourself. 3. Chunk your problems. 4. Space your repetition. 5. Practice solving different types of problems with different techniques. 6. Take breaks. 7. Use explanatory questioning and simple analogies. 8. Focus. 9. Do the hardest thing earliest in the day, when you're fresh. 10. Make a mental contrast. The value of brainstorming with others. It's sometimes not enough to use your neural horsepower, both modes and hemispheres, to analyze your work. Everyone has blind spots. So by studying or thinking with your friends, you can easily catch where your thinking has gone astray. But they should have an aggressively critical edge to them. Research on creativity has shown that non-judgmental, agreeable interactions are less productive than sessions where criticism is accepted and even solicited as part of the game. Test preparation checklist. Professor Richard Felder is a legend among engineering educators. He has done more than any other educator in this century to help students worldwide to excel in math and science. Here's his checklist that answers the question, how should I prepare for a test? Answer yes, only if you usually did the things described, as opposed to occasionally or never. Homework. 1. Did you make serious effort to understand the text? 2. Did you work with classmates on homework problems, or at least check your solutions with others? 3. Did you attempt to outline every homework problem solution before working with classmates? Test preparation. The more yes responses you record, the better your preparation for the test. If you record 2 or more no responses, think seriously about making some changes in how you prepare for the next test. 1. Did you participate actively in homework group discussions? 2. Did you consult the instructor when you were having trouble with something? 3. Did you understand all of your homework problem solutions when they were handed in? 4. Did you ask in class for explanations of homework problem solutions that weren't clear to you? 5. If you had a study guide, did you carefully go through it before the test and convince yourself that you could get everything done on it? 6. Did you attempt to outline lots of problem solutions quickly without spending time on the algebra and calculations? 7. Did you go over the study guide and problems with classmates and quiz one another? 8. If there was a review session before the test, did you attend it and ask questions about anything you weren't sure about? 9. Did you get a reasonable night's sleep before the test? Getting good at challenging things. All the powerful strategies mentioned here can benefit you in more than just math and science. They grew from considerable evidence about how the human mind works. The interplay between emotions and cognition is an essential component to all learning. So try not to avoid math and science. Try to be good at them. And then see if you still want to quit. After all, isn't education about getting good at challenging things?